You're tuned into the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is brought to you in living color on BTR.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
This is the tale of a man named Z. He's the internet champ, it's so plain to see. With his Strong Island story, he is going full throttle. He jumped a rope you couldn't see. He brought your broski in a bottle. He's looking for that push, it's gonna get him over. Zach's about to blow it up like a real supernova. So all you haters, listen up, there's no need to be bitter. The pack's 130K all over Zach's Twitter. Fist pump it all at once for the head broski. I'll finish this thing off like my boy Bismarcky. Oh, woo, woo, woo. Long Island IZ. The internet champs, my friend. The internet champs, my friend. Woo, 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 woo. Peace.
Stanford, you're my broski. But what does your family think when you film these things?
I often wonder that myself, Mr. Ryder. What does Stanford's family think of the rapping stylings? Let's be fair, though, folks. Scott Stanford learned his rap stylings not from Vanilla Ice, but from Chuck Scarborough of Channel 4 in New York. So let's keep that on the... Let's let that be known first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, because Chucky Scars has got some mad street cred in the NYC. Word up. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. Here on a Friday night, as usual, back to our normal times slot, 11 p.m. Eastern, on this, the 8th of July, 2011. I am not Nikki Heyman, I'm Jim Williams. I'm pinch-hitting again this week for Nikki, who has been having some internet problems. She's in her new home, safely ensconced, in parts unknown. But she actually just got the internet a few moments ago. Maybe she'll join us in a cameo later. No promises, you never know. But she'll definitely be hosting next week. Can't do this show alone. We've got Carl Chenier producing, and he's in and out right now, but he'll be joining us for the occasional thing here or there. And I'm joined by a panel of pundits so far, too. We'll have a third come in shortly thereafter. First, he's the closest guy we have to a broski on Broadway from Brooklyn, New York. How alliterative is that? Jason Block. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening, Jim. How are you? This is going to be an interesting week, to say the least. Now, and I actually have some news to start off with, but let's introduce the other person first.
And we will. He is kind of the Orson Bean, since we're game show geeks here, you and me, Jason. He would be the Orson Bean of this crew. He is a raconteur, a man of many talents. The ladies love him, and he's all about Tuesday Night Typho. He is Typho. Hi, Typho.
You know, there's word going around the street now that Johnny Ace is getting a promotion, and they're looking to hire someone in talent relations to work under him and perhaps be his right-hand man. Knowing his diva hiring practices, I don't want to be anywhere near his right hand.
Oh, man. Or his left, for that matter. But there you go. Typho in the house. Great to have you aboard. By the way, your boy Vance Archer's in the news. You may have heard about that, but we'll touch on that perhaps later on. You're welcome to join us in the chat room, blogtalkradio.com/CLW83Network. Some of the people who are on the show are in the chat room, and this, of course, only applies when you listen to the live show. Good people talking wrestling and trashing me, which is always a good thing. We're going to go a little out of order here this week, starting with some TNA stuff. And if you haven't been to WrestleChat.net, Stacey Ray Podelsky, hopefully I pronounced her name right, has a review of the show that happened in Brooklyn over the holiday weekend, or just around the holiday weekend. But she's not the only one who went there. Our own Jason Block was there and provides a little bit of a insight and a report for us now. Jason, home of the Brooklyn Cyclones, this was at, correct?
Yeah, and, this was at MCU Park, which was the home of really the first baseball news. And if I remember correctly, it was the biggest live event in TNA history, and they decided to use this as jump-off point for stuff that they've been doing over the summer. They're going to do the been doing this in different parts of the country now, successfully,
okay,
I might add, or at least somewhat successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, a couple of friends of mine and I, a friend of mine and his wife and myself, bought VIP tickets to go see, which included a barbecue and a meet and greet. However, the VIP barbecue was not so hot because it was really baseball food, and we're not you know, incredibly overcooked and incredibly, you know, not very tasty. And whole meet and greet thing was really not very well done because of the space relations of where the picnic was and where the meet and greet was. There was not enough seating for all the people who they had the meet and greet for and the picnic. So it was a little unorganized, to say the least. Don West was helping us out a little bit. He did his little spiel online, of course, for the Brown Bag Special. And the deal of the day.
Brown Bag Special.
Yes.
Be gnarly people.
Yes, the deal of the day. However, the VIP got us seats on the field, which was really, really cool. However, they were not reserved seats, so you had to grab them.
Ooh.
And
first come, first serve.
But it really wasn't that bad because we had very, very good, seats. Except there were even better seats that the Platinum people got, which got photos signed by Ric Flair and a bat signed by Ric Flair.
Woo!
But more on that later. The show itself was kind of interesting. Orlando Jordan and Amazing Red and EY defeated the British Invasion and Robbie E in a comedy match, which included Eric Young running around the bases, which was very fun, and Robbie E and Orlando Jordan doing the fist bump and grind to Pop 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 Americano, if you know the dance song that he does.
I'm not hip with the kids, but I think I've heard of it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Mickey James, who did a meet and greet earlier in the show and was charging $10 for a picture with her, by the way, very smoking hot, defeated Angelina Love, who was accompanied by Winter, and Earl Hebner did the, you know, those Damn Right I Did shirts, if you've ever seen them in a TNA show. He did some Bret Hart stuff and was signing with Brian for $10 a pop. In a bit of a surprise, Crimson defeated Jeff Jarrett with the Sky High. Now, Jarrett got the most heat of the night to the point where he was joined with a ringside fan to the point where we thought it was going to get physical. Okay.
Ooh.
And I did see Jeremy Borash actually hand out backstage passes, so it's not a total gimmick. Okay.
There you go.
And Jarrett did get nuts. They played Rob Van Dam's music, but it set up. But Bully Ray came out and challenged Devon to a Falls Count Anywhere, No DQ street fight. And they battled on the field and on top one of the dugouts. Devon won, and there was a Where's Brooklyn At chant, which was pretty cool.
There you go.
And there was an intermission. And by the way, the biggest thing that didn't happen was Ric Flair didn't, as advertised, was supposed to come out with a promo. But he never did. He never showed up, which left a lot of people in the audience disappointed. Okay? Let's see. RVD pinned AJ Styles in a great match. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, Kurt Angle defeated Mr. Anderson in a non-title match, which was very good. And what was ironic about that was right after the show ended, a fireworks display happened, which was the Coney Island fireworks. It pretty much timed to the match, which was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Which was kind of interesting.
So you had went to the event last year, correct?
Yeah, this event felt like they were kind of mailing it in.
Okay. Now, what I'm wondering is, were there different people organizing this event as opposed to people who organized last year's? I mean, was there a turnover maybe
in the
behind the
scenes? I really couldn't tell you because I wouldn't know who's what and for whom. But I will say this, though. It was an entertaining night of wrestling. I just would not necessarily pay for the for the meet and greet and all that stuff, because that didn't work out as well as I would have liked it to. But I still but the TNA wrestling was great. Oh, and by the way, at the end, Angle and Styles posed for pictures at $20 a pop, and pretty much half the crowd took advantage of that. They were there for about 2 hours afterwards, I think.
There you go. And I wonder if that's where most of the money comes from, that kind of thing. But, you know, I would assume so, at the prices they're charging. But we'll see.
Right. Could you just entertain yourself with Typho for a couple of seconds? I'll just be right back, okay?
No problem.
Thank you.
Hi, Typho. How are the kids? No. yes. All right. Well, welcome back to the show. Yes. Carl, our producer, is away taking care of some personal business, and he'll be joining us in a second. That's why we're doing things a little bit out of order tonight. Want to bring something up. Actually, I'll bring it up with Typho, and I'll bring it up with Jason in a moment. Staying with the TNA front, their Destination X pay-per-view is this coming Sunday. And I was talking with Jason before the show, and I asked him, what is the best thing that could come out of this pay-per-view for the company? Because this is kind of like a turn-back-the-clock pay-per-view. What could you see, Typho, as the best possible thing for the company that can come out of this pay-per-view coming up this weekend?
I think the best thing that could come out of it would just be the buzz leading into it, showing everybody that style can draw, and there could actually probably get some life out of actually featuring it more, building around it more. Because I personally thought in the early TNA days, pay per view days, I was a pretty regular viewer, and the X Division, the style, the unique competitors they brought in, actually drew me to it more than, say, like Jeff Jarrett and whoever he was squashing that week. I love seeing guys like bringing like Jack Evans, bringing back Loki, Austin Aries. I think bringing those guys in, using them, featuring them, showing they can main event, headline shows, pay-per-views, etc. It's the thing they need, because they need to be different than their competition. Instead of trying to go head-to-head with them doing the same crap the WWE does, they're never going to win that way, because the WWE is too established in that way. So going back to what they were originally, being different and an alternative and something that somewhat, if you're bored with WWE, you can turn to, I think that's going to be their better bet of making that little divide between WWE and TNA a little bit closer.
And to Jason's point, and to Jason, I'll pose this also. We actually saw on Twitter over the course of the past day or two, talking about last night's Impact, the X Division qualifier match was interesting stuff involving many of the wrestlers involved in there, and that's what's been their saving grace right now on Impact Wrestling, the X Division qualifiers heading up for Destination X. I mean, Ziggler writing cool Ultimate X qualifier match on Impact tonight. Evans does some pretty sick stuff. You know, Tim showed some love for it as well.
Speed wrestling can be fun.
Yes, that was the hashtag. Yes, indeed. I wish him all his best in his future endeavors for saying wrestling. but seriously, you know, the buzz going into this pay-per-view, there is some buzz, there is some hope. Can they realistically feed off of this and turn this into something more after the fact, or is this just going to be a one-off, do you think?
when they should. And I think if, like, the reviews coming out of it, if the buy rates, all that, if they're good enough, then it's going to show them that it can actually work. But I don't know how it's going to turn out. I just think, I mean, they just, the thing is, they've got to be different. That's what's going to do it. Because, I mean, I love crazy Joker, Riddler, Sting right now in Impact. I mean, he's great, but...
That's some good stuff, by the way.
But is he any different than R-Truth right now on Raw? They're, like, doing the same basic type of character. They're insane. I mean, that's just same thing.
And we've seen that happen enough times in the last couple of years where TNA will parody or rip off a character on WWE, i.e. the Robbie E stuff. Oh, yeah, he's a fist pumper, kind of like Zack Ryder. Woo, 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 you know it. Jason, do you expect, I'll pose the same question. Do you see this as a one-off solely, or do you see this as something that could, if done right, lead to an angle where they keep maybe some of the X division, the Destination X-style wrestling in place?
You see, I mean, I always hold out hope. I always do.
Right.
However, again, with Russo, Bischoff, Hogan in charge, you're never going to know. Because, remember back January 4th, 2010, when the Monday Night Wars happened? They said, oh, we're going to get rid of the six-sided ring. We don't want that anymore. Something like that. If I were smart, I would, because, of course, wrestling matters. But I hold hope out for this show because AJ Styles is booking this show and has a lot of creative control of this. And I'm hoping for something to go out. Joker Sting, yeah, that's fine, but it's not a conspiracy. He's just nuts. There's a difference, okay? Not, he's not an angry black man. He's a crazy man in makeup. There's a difference, okay? There are some differences to it, okay? But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic, but again, it's TNA.
Okay, fair enough.
Speaking of which,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches on the card. Which match is the one that's most intriguing to you? I'll start with Typho.
I'm really looking forward to all of them, honestly. But
okay,
I'm anxious to see Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lynn, just because. And the past matches, of course, have all been great. And Jerry Lynn, he's still, I mean, he could probably pass for 30 if you wanted him to right now. He could still go. Van Damme, when he wants to, can still go. And I think with Jerry Lynn, he's going to want to. So I think I'm looking forward to see how they can stack up to their past performances.
And I should correct myself, Douglas Williams has an open challenge. That's potentially a seventh match. Jason, what are you looking forward to?
I got three words for you. Daniel, Styles, Joe. Come on, okay? Jerry Lynn and RVD is going to be great because I believe Jerry Lynn showed that his back is healed from whatever injury he had, if I'm not mistaken, on this past Thursday. But Daniels had an awesome match against El Generico, which is the Best of the World pay-per-view. AJ Styles is AJ Styles, and Samoa Joe is Samoa Joe. You got three of the best wrestlers in the world going to be given 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, they could read the phone book in the wrestling ring, and Styles, Daniels, and Joe will be, unbelievably cool. So it's to the point where I may seriously consider buying the pay-per-view. And I usually don't buy TNA shows, but this one I might, because you've got the people who can work. You don't have as many characters, and as long as they keep the Gaga to a minimum, mm-hmm. and let the wrestling show what TNA can do, this will mm-hmm. be a major success. If they mm-hmm. let some of the regular TNA crap go on and keep the Sting Anderson stuff in there,
mm-hmm.
then you got a problem.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you completely. I mean, you got to go back to their roots. That's what's going to make them viable. And I liken it to ECW. They were counterculture. They went against the grain, and they didn't try to be like the WWF back in the day. That's what TNA has to do to have a bigger footprint. They're never going to be the number one. I don't ever see that happening. But to have a bigger footprint and to be a legit number two, a viable number two, they need to go back to their roots, go back to the X Division, or whatever it's going to be called now, and just work with that. So I hope for the best. I'm probably going to try to watch some of this pay-per-view. It looks intriguing to me. So we hope that everything for the best. By the way, Taz won't be announcing. He's got a family issue. Jeremy Borash will be doing color to Mike Tenay's play-by-play. That'll be interesting in and of itself. JB's good peeps, though.
JB is good stuff. And also, you know, you were talking about counterculture for a second. You were pointing out something to me. About a day, about this week in sort of...
Oh, yes.
A little This Week in History sort of deal.
Yes. This Week in Pro Wrestling History, sponsored by nobody.
By it five was, hour... No. By, what is it? Stacker 2. Yes.
Oh. Damn you to hell, Locke. Damn you to hell.
No. Of course, man. Who could forget Paulie Walnuts and Trish Stratus, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hello. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, 15 years ago this week, one of the biggest wrestling angles in the industry's history, I would say, went down. It was Bash at the Beach 1996 when Hulk Hogan pulled a screw job, if you will, turned heel, sided with Nash and Hall the Outsiders to form the New World Order, brother.
Of wrestling. Now,
exactly. The New World Order of wrestling, later shortened to the New World Order for, you know, merch purposes. Typho, I don't know if you were a big WCW fan back in the day. Do you remember where you were when you saw it and what your reactions were to the whole thing, you know, back in the day?
I'll never forget it. I remember leading up to the pay-per-view, I spent probably 2 weeks begging my dad to order it.
Mm-hmm.
And the day came and he agreed, so I was staying with my dad. I was there all day swimming and stuff. My dad, he was not a huge wrestling fan, kind of a semi-wrestling fan. Like, he'd watch it with me and stuff. He'd enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't go out of his way to see it or anything. But the day of the show, I mean, of course, I'm 10, 11, 11 years old, I guess. But the whole day, I'm just running the list through my head who's going to be the mystery partner. I'm thinking it's got to be someone from the WWF because, I mean, you got Razor Ramon, you got Diesel. So I'm thinking Bret Hart because he disappeared from TV. I'm thinking Shawn Michaels because I knew they were friends. I remember somehow in my head I got it that it was going to be Quang.
Wow.
Well, I don't forget. I asked my dad, I'm like, who do you think it's going to be? And he just kind of sat there for a second and he's like, Hulk Hogan. And I laughed. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. But, I mean, I'm like, yeah, that won't happen. The night pay-per-view happens. You know, match is going on. We all know how that goes. Hogan walks out. I just looked, and my dad was just sitting there smiling. I'm like, wait a minute. Let's see what he's going to do. He gets in the ring, drops the leg on Savage. My dad just starts laughing. I'm there. I'm, like, distraught.
Wow.
I was just kind of amazed.
And thus the beginning of debris being thrown into rings by WCW fans.
Yeah.
I can relate kind of to what you were going with. Dad and I watched it. We usually got most of the big pay-per-views. Jason, your thoughts 15 years later on that angle and that night in the history, if I may use a Tony Schiavone-ism, of our industry?
Well, try this on for size, though, okay? And you can actually say it was one of the most significant angles in history, as you said, but for a very different reason.
Okay.
Let's compare it to what happened. Remember, this was 1996. WrestleMania,
right.
I think, 12 happened, or was it 11?
12.
That would be 12.
Okay. So,
Iron Man match.
Right, so you had the greatest WrestleMania match in history. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just completed. But WWE was still going through its cartoony phase. Okay.
Right, they didn't know, new generation at the time, they didn't know where they were going, right.
They just had Austin 316 about 2 or 3 weeks before Bash at the Beach.
Right, but remember, that was just the start of it,
it was starting.
Right, and remember,
the wheels were turning.
And ECW was still, I believe, in its infancy around.
Yeah, they were still, you know, a year away from doing a pay-per-view.
Barely Legal was when? 95 or 96? 97.
Okay.
April 97.
Right. So, but ECW was starting to get there. WCW had to compete somewhere, and turning Hogan heel was incredibly important because without Hogan turning heel, it started the Monday Night Wars, which... Remember, Nitro won for something like 80-odd consecutive weeks. I don't remember the exact number.
It was about a year and a half's worth of time, yeah.
Right, and then if this angle did not happen, you probably would not have the Monday Night Wars and you would not have the Attitude Era. You wouldn't.
Right.
Because...
That's a fair assessment.
Because if you did not have that, I mean, that is much... That angle has as much to do with the Attitude Era as ECW does, okay?
True. I would say so, yeah.
Because without that, you don't have everything that came along afterwards. I mean, yes, Typho, you're absolutely 100% correct. A few weeks earlier at King of the Ring 96, you had the birth of Austin 316. But... Austin 316 and Austin's influence did not really take effect until 97, 98, 99, and 2000, okay? But even so, the fact that Hogan turned heel, I mean, you had one of the biggest stars in the industry, and even, you know, around 15 years later, okay, becoming one of the unrepentant heels in the industry and playing off his backstage persona of being the political whore that he was and still is in certain areas.
Right, exactly.
So it was incredibly significant, and it made the careers of Hogan, Eric Bischoff, and eventually later on down the road, Vince Russo, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and a bunch of others.
It really propelled so many people, and it brought so many fans into wrestling. Those who either were fans before but got disinterested with the product, or those looking at it as, oh, this is new, this is different, this is not your father's wrestling,
right,
per se. So it did many important things in those respects. And of course, you kind of set me up with this when we were talking before the show, Jason. We were reminded of this thing about a year ago at this time, because a year ago today, LeBron James did his decision thing, and the ever-witty Bill Simmons at ESPN.com, the first thing he thought of with the decision thing was Bash at the Beach 96. This is the ultimate heel turn. LeBron James going from Cleveland to Miami. And it works. It's very true.
Exactly. I mean, it is. You agree, Typho?
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, I said without this angle, there wouldn't have been Attitude Era, at least to the degree that it happened. How I see it is, at that time, or in the following years, you know, 98, 99, 2000, I'm sure we all remember it when pretty much everyone, their grandmother, became a wrestling fan. You go out, you look around, and what you see Austin shirt, DX shirt, NWO shirt. So obviously the NWO was very important to the whole thing.
The thing is, you still see people going to shows with NWO shirts on.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the older wrestling fans, of course.
Right. Well,
Jim, we've got to take a break.
Thank you. I'll host the show now.
I'm only kidding.
But I have received an email from the anonymous general manager. I enjoy waxing poetic about the years that were. Let's fast forward to 2011. And we'll do that after these commercial messages. Stay with us, won't you please?
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. Social issues,
foreign affairs,
hard news,
the rising cost of living,
political perspectives,
unemployment numbers rising.
You ain't gonna find any of that here.
I'm Jim Williams.
And I'm Chris Palmer, and together we are the Jersey Connection.
Give us a listen every week on the CLW 83 Network. Check CLW83.com for program listings.
And cut.
Because we don't know what f***ing time we're going to be on.
The FFL season begins. All 20 teams compete for the top pick in this year's draft. It's the 2011 PYLP FFL Draft Mayhem on FFL Live. This Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Only on the CLW 83 Network.
Tinkerbell!
Hey, this is Ethan Muslin from the BS Big Show, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. God help you.
Shut up!
Yeah, shut up, Ethan. And back we are here on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. Jim Williams ably filling in for Nikki Heyman with Jason Block, Typho, and Carl is back, safely ensconced at CLW 83 World Headquarters in Louisiana with a banjo on his knee. No, not really. We went 35 minutes. I'm only kidding, brother. We went 35 minutes without talking about the big stories from the Australian tour that WWE has been on. Oh, yes, they're in Australia, not Las Vegas. There are a couple people who don't read, who don't have internet, apparently, who don't know that. We're going to start with the one that made the most news in terms of getting into the entertainment news sites and whatever, and that was the unfortunate choice of words CM Punk used while on the trip. Now, Carl, could you do me a favor? Do you have the clip ready? If so, play it, and we'll get reactions from the panel here. This is CM Punk in Adelaide.
Yes, you're right. I only pick on women. That's why I'm picking on you two chucks right now. You have a vagina. You have a vagina. Nice mohawk, you homo. Yeah, I want
I'm Dick.
Yeah, that's my name.
Yeah.
What's yours? Your name
Sally? You're a girl, mate.
Sally?
You're a girl.
Crocodile Dundee?
Girl.
Why don't you go on walkabout?
You're a girl, mate.
Go sit down.
I'm Dick. Go back to your room.
Huh?
Hey, little clown.
That is courtesy of video somebody uploaded from YouTube. They took their camera and heard it. In case you missed it, he dropped the word homo, referring to somebody as a fan as a homo. WWE, of course, did damage control, and I quote them here, WWE does not condone this type of language or bias, and we reinforce that with our talent who are independent contractors. Punk immediately afterwards was on Twitter without the nudging of the powers of the bee, and said, quote, I'm embarrassed, I own up to being a total douche in this situation, and I offer a sincere apology to anybody I hurt with careless words. Typho, is this all much ado about nothing, or is this a greater problem? Because this has happened a few times, Michael Cole with his calling Josh Matthews a homo on Twitter. You go back to other situations recently, the Daniel Bryan Tiegate incident, where they've been finding themselves in pickles like this. Is there something to be said for this? What's your reaction to all of this?
Pretty much the same as when anything like this comes up, overreaction. I mean,
okay.
They take these things and they just make them into huge deals. And they shouldn't be. I mean, I'm one of the least PC people that I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think anytime something like this happens and the reactions that happen, you go to any wrestling forum or anything anywhere, there's 20-page threads on this crap. And why?
Sure.
I mean, sure, maybe it offends people, but I mean, if your skin is that thin, then, I mean, you got bigger problems. You can't handle that.
The people at GLAAD had their problems, obviously, with it. And, you know, right, and if WWE has been working in conjunction with GLAAD, of course, and other organizations with the anti-bullying thing. Jason, do you concur with what Typho's saying?
I'll even take it a step further. If Linda McMahon was not potentially running for a 2012 Senate seat, for I believe Joe Lieberman's seat, or the fact that they're still TVPG and have sponsors like Kmart, Keystone Light, and others, the homo comment by CM Punk would not even be mentioned. This is the fact that they've gone as far back, if you remember correctly, when John Cena called The Miz and Alex Riley Brokeback Mountain partners and
right.
would be duvet shopping and watching, I believe it was Lifetime movies, I believe the line was, or something to that effect, they got called in and went into what is known as sensitivity training. Those two
right.
words are the bane of political correctness. Unfortunately, with the corporate culture that it is right now, it's going to be picked up. And, you know, for me, look, is it offensive to some people? Yeah, it is. However, you know, just realize that in the heat of the moment, when you have an unscripted, non-television show, people are going to say things.
Exactly. We welcome in, and we apologize for not having him in earlier. Fourth is joining us. He's the fourth on this show tonight. Hey, Fourth, how's it going?
It's going all right. I was actually trying not to swerve off the road. It was raining, thunder, lightning. It was
It was like I was challenging
the streak or something.
Well, We've been having some bad weather in here on the East Coast tonight, and it's just by the grace of God we're on the air here from South Jersey, and Jason's case in Brooklyn. Fourth, your whole thoughts on the whole CM Punk comments from his from the Australian House show?
I actually haven't heard the actual statement he made. I don't know exactly what was the actual word
he
used.
He called a fan a homo. Not in the complete derogatory sense, per se. I mean, he said to the fan, yeah, you're right, I pick on women. So, yeah, that's why I'm picking on you. You have a vagina. You have a vagina, back off, you homo, something along those lines, more or less.
I don't know. I feel like he probably definitely wasn't quite thinking too much because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they've already gotten in trouble multiple times in the past for similar statements. And
mm-hmm.
it's one of those, why kind of fan the flames? Why feed it?
Yeah, I'm with you, and I look at it from you know, the overall aspect. Maybe it's the broadcaster in me. Big Brother's always watching. I mean, we're in a society that's a 24/7 spin cycle, not a news cycle, a spin cycle. Everybody has cameras, cell phone cameras, digital cameras, what have you. Inevitably, you say something, somebody could be watching you and taping you. It's the sad reality of the world we live in. And if it gets posted on the internet and one person sees it, it exponentially grows to 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, so on and so forth, and before you get into the millions, and then it gets picked up by TMZ, and then you're on with Harvey Levin in syndication. What I'm getting at is Big Brother's always watching, so I'm thinking these guys and gals need to always be mindful of that. I mean, they're human beings. Everybody slips up. Everybody is not immune to the trials and tribulations of life. It's just you got to think a little bit. That's the way I look at it, at least. But I'm sorry. I will petition Nikki to use the "you have a vagina" line on the soundboard soon. That was just, to me, that was funny. That's vintage punk. But that's not all that came out of the Australia tour. Punk also got his goodbye beatdown from no fewer than about 10 superstars, male and female, which was pretty interesting. But problems arose between Australia and South Africa. Jason, you take this because you brought this up to me.
Yeah, well, I'll also just leave one other thing, just all the thing that also Cena shot on The Rock also as well.
Oh, well, that's right. Yeah, we'll get back to that in a second. I apologize. But yeah,
well,
go ahead.
But here's what happened. Unfortunately, Randy Orton tweeted that on the way to South Africa from their SmackDown tapings, a lot of the WWE wrestlers got robbed of personal items, including GPSs, cameras, and other items. And, you know, that's not good for the South African people.
Tourism, yeah.
You know, not cool. And supposedly the luggage was locked, but a lot of them had their locks cut off.
Oof.
Yeah.
Not good at all.
No, let me just actually pull that off.
They're not getting the World Cup again anytime soon, I'll tell you that.
No, not at all.
I don't think WWE will be touring there either in the near future. It was just the SmackDown Superstars, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
who had that happen.
Yeah, his luggage was untouched, but there were locks on the bags that they were stolen from. Let's see here. I'm just trying to find out more about the robbery here. But
right.
Yeah, this is not very good. I mean, good grief.
And it's a situation that was out of their hands. They couldn't do much with it, so you can't blame WWE on this. It's completely on the powers that be there at the airport and South Africa. Just a freak occurrence.
The bags had lots. They stole everything from watches to GPSs, things that were financial, and they flew on a domestic flight from Johannesburg to Cape Town. So somewhere in that format, they got jacked pretty much.
One wonders if this was like 10 years ago, if they would have stole the Katie Vick. No, let's not go there.
I'll be honest. After watching tonight, it's probably a good thing that they take the belts from the wrestlers and they get backstage, because tonight the new SmackDown belt looked kind of impressive. I would wonder what Vince would be like if it got stolen.
What? There was a new belt?
Well, not necessarily, but. but just the world heavyweight belt kind of had like a different shade of gold around world heavyweight wrestling champion, and the globe in the center looked a little bigger. So just a minor update.
Okay. I did not notice that.
Thank you, R-Truth.
Yes.
I mean, I know he told us about it on Twitter, but can we say that Randy went to the papers about this?
wait a minute. Randy, does that mean if he goes to the papers, he needs some... Oh, forget it. I was expecting baby oil, but I guess... No, very well. Anyway, but Carl, stay on cue for this. We're going to go back to Australia, as I neglected to mention. Thank you, Jason, for bringing it up. The other big highlight out of the Australia tour, a certain Fruity Pebble-wearing, jort-loving guy known as John Cena had a few choice words for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Let's go to the audio tape.
The Rock is back in the United States of America, enjoying a prolific career as an actor. Another gentleman right here just made a comment that he's got more money than I've got. I hope somebody's filming this because I don't give a damn how much money he's got. I don't give a damn that he's relaxing up in his mansion waiting for his next lead role. I give a damn that he had the balls to stand in the middle of this ring. Said that he was back and that he was never leaving again. Yet here I am. And we all wonder, where is the so-called people's champion? Where is the so-called captain of Team Bring It? And if he is the captain of Team Bring It, what are they bringing? A doctor's note that says he can't fly all the way to Australia and entertain the WWE Universe out here in Perth? I don't care if I got to play G.I. Joe, Fast Five, Fast Six, Godzilla, King Kong, and Julius Caesar all rolled into one. I want to be in the middle.
John Cena in Perth, Australia, this past week, and strong words for against The Rock. By the way, congratulations, Cena. You're going to be future endeavored for saying you're a wrestler. All right, gentlemen, I'll go with four here first.
I guess we see why that firing stipulation was added.
Yes, that's exactly why. Yes, Vince knew this was going to be a work shoot in the middle. No. Fourth, what do you make of all of this? Is this more good talk, or is this just, eh?
I did find it interesting that, once again, they brought up the whole idea of someone who is not regularly in the promotion being called out by someone who would claim to be there for the foreseeable future. I was just going to say, it's just something unusual to hear because... I know, again, The Rock had that window of opportunity, so he took it. Maybe Cena might have a similar window. It's kind of weird to say that. You never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And let it also be said, Cena also admitted he's technically, if you want to play the 6 degrees of separation game, that he can act. So I'm proud of him for admitting that. Typho.
Yeah, I'm happy he finally admitted he's not an actor. No matter how many movies they put him in, they're not good at all.
No, they're not. I got a kick out of it. You know, it's good television. Well, it's not television, but it's good stuff to hear a verbal jawing back and forth between The Rock and Cena. And we're going to get this, I'm sure, at various points leading up to WrestleMania. Jason, you think this is good stuff?
This is excellent stuff. I don't know. I don't get what, because remember, how many times a year do they go to the places that they go to? which is usually
once if they're lucky.
Right, per year. So remember, they have to generate interest for WrestleMania. So why not do another work shoot, you know, a work shoot promo, okay? Get the interest going. And again, Cena's right. Cena's 100% right. The fact is that a lot of what Cena says is absolutely 100% true. Even when Cena shoots his movies, he makes appearances via satellite or something to that effect.
Exactly.
I mean, how many times since The Rock hosted WrestleMania has he been on WWE television? Zero.
Zippity-doo-dah.
Zero. None. Okay?
Well, that was his birthday party.
Minus his birthday party. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. Let me let you hold that thought because Carl is at control and we have breaking news. At 11:51 p.m. Eastern. Go ahead, Carl.
This is an NAWC breaking news update. This is Carl Schneer speaking. By way of Robert Soderman listening along, we have breaking news from Diva Dirt. Apparently, Sarita, known to most on the indie circuit as Sarah Stock from TNA, she just announced that she's suffering from facial paralysis.
Paralysis.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, she just put that on her Facebook page.
That's a shame.
And this has been breaking news, and let me play this, and then we'll get back to the show.
I mean,
check it out on her Facebook page, guys.
Okay. All right, well, we wish her obviously the very best with that. That's sad news. We're going to get back into things. Chase, you sent me something from PW Insider. I haven't had a chance to really read it, so give me a breakdown of what this is.
This is I thought was a very interesting article. There was a guy who actually worked the production side of the taping. In Arizona, and
right.
Basically sort of gave sort of an inside look as sort of the rehearsal of what this
is.
Basically talking about, for example, the segment with the Money in the Bank participants received a full and very thorough rehearsal. Those who got mic time read directly from scripts. Like, for example, Cody Rhodes actually read his script completely in character, which made for humorous moments when he flubbed a line or misread something. And that Triple H was an aspect of things. And it basically gives a very interesting view into the insight of the production side of things.
In the words of CM Punk, breaking the fourth wall, per se.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. This guy broke the fourth wall.
It's compelling stuff at PWInsider.com. Check it out. And talking about Orton and Christian during the rehearsal, a long conversation they had, business-like, friendly, and what have you. It's an interesting read. I always like learning about the inside stuff, as I'm sure all you guys do, too. Check that out.
Yes, exactly. It's actually... You know, it's just been...
No, it's good stuff. We have, what is it?
Five and a half, six minutes
left. We haven't even talked about Raw for Monday night, which, it was a horrible show. It was horrible ratings. Yeah, the 4th of July, what the hell do you expect? I was out. I didn't even watch Raw. I was with a lady for watching fireworks.
Yes, and it was a tape one.
Yes, and we all knew what happened. So, but still, the biggest thing to come out of Raw, besides Zack Ryder getting TV time, the whole CM Punk John Cena thing continuing, the Cena Vince McMahon ending of the show. What do you take out of Raw going into the Go Home show typo?
Oh, I look forward to the potential CM Punk Vince McMahon confrontation. Mm-hmm. I just hope, since it likely will be Punk's last Raw, at least for a while, I hope Vince just goes out there with him, gives him a mic, and says, whatever you want to say, say it.
I would appreciate that. I would welcome that. And
don't
by the way,
script
CM Punk,
anything for him. Just give him the mic.
See
what happens.
Speaking of that also, along those same lines, I neglected to mention, CM Punk actually sort of kind of responded to the Jim Rome query we talked about last week, or that was talked about last week, and that he might be interested in spending some time with Rome. God help him.
That could be fun.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Jason.
No, that could be fun. But unfortunately, though, this really, they telegraphed the ending too much. Because, I mean, when you go out and basically say, if you lose the match, you're fired, okay? If you think John Cena's going to be fired, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you. I have the deed in my pocket, okay?
Yes.
There is.
We know what happened the last time he was fired. He was on Raw more than usual.
Yes.
Exactly. Vintage Johnny Three Moves it was, yes.
Exactly.
Hit,
I mean,
run, attitude adjustment.
Yeah, no. Exactly. It's terrible. It's one of those things that really do not, it really does not bode well for the creative booking of this sort of thing, because I would have, because supposedly also CM Punk is going to make his final appearance on Raw the night after, but we don't know. But, we'll see.
It should be interesting to watch. Forth, your thoughts on this past Monday's Raw heading into the go-home show towards the pay-per-view next week?
I feel like they telegraphed it, but for a different reason. I feel like because mm-hmm. they made it a big deal that if Punk leaves as champion, it's not so much that, so much as him breaking the lineage, as if mm-hmm. the championship will no longer be associated with Rogers and with Hogan and the like. So it does feel like they kind of telegraphed that outcome in that manner.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective on that. You might have something to that, too. We'll stay on afterwards for a couple of brief things, by the way, but as we often do on all CLW83 Network shows, it's all about plugging. Forth, do you have anything to plug?
Not at the moment, no.
Well, just say hi to somebody, I don't know. No. I apologize, I didn't want to catch you off guard. Typho?
At Tuesday night, Typho, every Tuesday night, 10 o'clock Central Time, Blog Talk Radio. Great show.
That's awesome.
Say so myself.
And you just did. So there you go. And Jason?
I'd actually like, outside of the show that I'm on, I actually would like to plug your show and call show on Wednesday nights and an occasional Sunday nights called the BS Big Show. I actually thought the food chain part this past week's episode was actually one of the best ones that you guys did in a while, because a lot of people had a lot of different opinions about what was important in the sports world, and it was really, really, really good stuff. So I believe
and
it is Wednesday night, 9 o'clock on CLW83 Network, right?
That is correct.
And credit to you for giving me the idea to go just top five around everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And you know what? Maybe there is something we could figure that out, too. We should have done it here, too. Darn it.
There's always next week, and Nikki will be here next week for the show. If you missed any portion of the program, it's available on demand. Of course, join us next Friday night, 11 to 12 midnight. Nikki will be here on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. As we go off live air, I'm Jim Williams. Thanks for listening. And we will be with you next week. Pause a few seconds for station identification, or rather, waiting for the turnover. I think we're into archives now.
All right, I'm going to head off, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay, no problem.
Right,
thank you,
bye-bye.
Jason.
Bye.
Great help, buddy. Yeah, Carl, thanks for the 1 minute warning about a minute late, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm only kidding. It's all good. Fourth, we apologize for not getting you on. A couple of problems in the first half of the show, but we're glad you could make it. Next week, we're going to do pick'ems. We're going to, hopefully Josh will be there with Nikki. We'll do pick'ems for the show, and Nikki will do all sorts of other things. But anything else you guys wanted to bring up that you heard about from this past week in wrestling that you want to bring up on the show, by all means.
What was your news about Vance Archer? Just to make sure I heard it.
I believe he got picked up by a promotion. I've got to double check which one. Give me 1 second. See,
ACW,
I just started,
right?
I'm not sure.
In Austin?
I believe so. That might have been it. Because I had seen it online, and I'm like, well, Typho has to know about this, because he's the biggest Vance Archer proponent I've ever met in my life. I mean, when you think Vance Archer, you think of Typho. And I mean that in a very nice way, by the way. Let me check the archives here. And it brings up videos. I don't want freaking videos. Yeah, TCW. That's exactly what it was. And go figure, I found this out by something in Spanish. What the hell? the slice of the site, www.ecuador.blogspot.com came up like in the first page of hits. But no, so Archer's doing what he can, so you got that going for you.
Between that and his trips to Japan, he should be doing pretty well.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Horth, is there anything you wanted to bring up that we really didn't cover on the show tonight?
Nothing I can really think of, actually.
There was, now that I think of it, one thing that Josh Henniger, Stat Boy Josh Henniger, mentioned on Facebook, and maybe you guys have seen it on the NAWC Facebook group. There's an independent wrestler out of the Ohio, Michigan area. Let me bring this up quickly. 1 second. See, this is the beauty of archives. I don't have to be a professional. I can just be a complete slapdust. That's a soundbite. independent wrestler CK3, and WrestleZone.com has information on this, and it was kind of a shoot video of sorts. A charge of gimmick infringement is what's being labeled with TNA using his Crimson gimmick.
And undefeated streak.
No, he's not Gilbert or Goldberg or anything. But no, there's a full 12-minute video on YouTube where he talks about how, you know what, they stole the Crimson gimmick that he had been trying to get into TNA for a while, and they stole his gimmick. Sting's got the look that he had, but let's be honest, Sting has the look of the Joker, which, you know, okay, 6 degrees of separation, parody, what have you. I mean, I don't know if he's going to pursue anything with this, but do you think he's got any case here that, you know, TNA stealing gimmicks of, I mean, like blatantly stealing as opposed to paradising gimmicks?
I'd like to hear the guy define what the Crimson gimmick is.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a gimmick.
Dustin Carnes. Dustin Carnes.
He just wins matches and is already forgotten to be Amazing Red's little brother.
Well, the people who have commented have said most of them are like, it's much ado about nothing, yet some do say, maybe there's something to it, that Sting's gimmick is, you know, the difference is he spelled King Crimson with a K and they spell it with a C or something like that, and it makes you think. I don't put a lot of stock in it, though. Maybe that's just me.
Matt Stryker sue Matt Stryker? Because they have the same ring name? Spelled differently, one with an I, one with a Y?
Well, exactly. I mean, you can only do so much with your creative character, and if it's not trademarked, you're screwed. And even if it is, parody, you know, the right to parody is free will. But it's on the NAWC group. Look for a post Nikki made about this. She mentioned if we had time on the show about it. Take a look at the video and discuss it from there if you want. All right, I got nothing else. I just wanted to see if you guys had anything else. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you,
Carl. Great to have you guys back on. And Nikki will do the show much better next week. Thanks a lot. All right, we'll talk with you down the road. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hit my music.
Thank you, Shawn Michaels.
I'm going hunting. Outdoor channel.
Wow. If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.